Eva Story has spent over 40 years in nursing, leading teams across the UK, Qatar, and Australia. She's been the nurse manager making impossible decisions, the leader fighting imposter syndrome, and the woman carrying many staff and the weight of an entire ward slash, if not hospital, and whole department on her shoulders. But Eva made a choice. She stepped out of the system, back to self, and built a business coaching nurse managers and senior leaders to lead with confidence, clarity, and compassion. In this conversation today, we deep dive into her nursepreneurship journey, the struggles, the highs, the lows, the lessons, the role of social media, what she thinks about how to price her services, and why investing in yourself is one of the most important decisions that you'll ever make. Eva joins us today to show us what's possible when you make nursing optional.
Welcome to the Nursepreneur Academy podcast, where nurses like you discover how to break free from the bedside and build a flexible, profitable business using the skills, knowledge, and experiences you already have. I'm your host, Liam Caswell, an RN turned full-time six-figure nursepreneur. In 2021, everything changed for me in my career. I left my senior nursing role to build an online nurse-led personal brand. One that gives me the freedom to work from anywhere, leverage the skills the hospital paid me to learn, and create both the income and impact I always knew I was capable of. Now it's your turn. I'm here to show you the possibilities beyond bedside and help you transition into a nurse-led business that fits your needs and life. Whether you dream of working from home, earning what you're truly worth, or making an impact on your own terms, I'm going to guide you every step of the way. Together, my friend, we'll make traditional nursing as you know it, optional. Now let's get down to it and let's build your profitable business.
Eva, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Liam.
I'm so excited
good to be here.
Yes, let's dive into your nursepreneurship journey. So take me back to the moment where you had the insight that maybe, just maybe, after 40 years in nursing, that this was not where your future lay, and you decided that you can't do this forever and you wanted to start a business. What did that look like?
It was mainly circumstances at the time, Liam. So my career, as you rightly say there, I've worked, you know, in different countries. I've had lots of great opportunities and I've always been someone who's followed those opportunities. And when I came to Australia, I was recruited internationally into a very senior role in a job that I loved. And it was a really great leadership role where I was fortunate actually to be able to lead a team and help them grow and develop their leadership skills. And it was almost like the culmination of all my years of nursing arrived with me in that role. And I was very conscious that everything I'd learned the hard way, you know, in the different roles I'd had, really did guide me in this role as to developing my leadership style, I think. And I did that for 4.5 years, and then the plug was pulled. So restructuring from a financial point of view, the hospital where I worked took out a whole layer of senior nursing roles as a cost saving measure, because the budgets were blown at that time. It's a new hospital, a lot of expense. So the position went. And I'd never had that happen to me at all in my career. So it was a real shock, first of all. And then what followed was this whole being a redeployee, which I didn't really understand that either, because I'd not worked in Australia prior to that role. And kind of what followed was a series of applying for jobs with the label of being a redeployee. Let's just say that wasn't a positive experience. What I didn't know, that I subsequently learnt later, was that can sometimes be misinterpreted as somebody can be in a redeployee role because they weren't up for the job. So that made sense to me when I found that out.
Which
anyway,
is not
No. So then I decided I would take a secondment. So I took a secondment for a year. I was on a protected salary. And it was a role that was very much an office-based role. Not really my thing, if I'm honest. It was very much around policy. And I'm not really a policy person. I'm a people person. But hey, you know, it was a job. And I'd also started to study life coaching around that time. So I was probably a year into a 2-year course of being life coaching, of being a life coach. And that decision came about because lots of people used to come to me asked me for advice in my role. So it became a bit of a joke at work. My office was like a doctor's office. There were always people waiting to speak to me. And it kind of made me think about why is that? And then I realized that my experience and the things I'd done really helped me to see things through a different lens sometimes, and that that was valuable. So my life coaching, I continued in this secondment, and then I just decided I can't keep doing this. It was not me and not really what I wanted to be doing. So I made probably what was the most courageous decision in my life was to leave. So I left a full-time paid job, very naively, I have to say now, and jumped into coaching, basically. First of all, I finished my training because I could concentrate on that because I was, I had time. So that expedited my training and becoming a qualified professional coach. And when I look back, Liam, I can laugh about it now because, I thought then, okay, get a website, print a few business cards, off you go. It can't be that hard. Literally, very naively, I hold my hands up. And then I began to realize that I didn't know what I didn't know in terms of the whole setting up the things that I needed. So I struggled initially and I did it the long way around. Things took me forever to do. But hey, I still got clients, and clients came to me despite all my chaotic in the background, hit and miss processes. The coaching side of it was fine. And they gave me good testimonials and word of mouth. Pretty much word of mouth was the sole way that people came to me, which again, kind of validated, okay, you've got the coaching skills, you're using your nursing experience. And it, for me, that was telling me I was on the right path. The niche that I decided on, I was always very clear from right from the beginning that I wanted to work with nurses. Where I started from was calling myself a resilience coach because that was the word that was flying around at the time. And I was like, yeah, I totally get that. We don't teach nurses how to do resilience. So I went off, I did a course, which was really good in Adelaide, and became a resilience at work assessor. And then discovered that people had an allergy to the word resilience, especially nurses, because they were sick of being told, you've got to be more resilient. So here am I, a resilience coach, and it wasn't resonating. So I'm like, ah, you've got to do something about this. I carried on for a while. I dropped the resilience, and I don't think I even call myself a nurse coach. I was known as Eva Story Coaching. And then what happened was I began to realize that the people who were coming to me were fairly senior in health. So they were either senior leaders, not necessarily all nurses. Sometimes they were working in management and exec roles, and nurse managers. And I started to be aware that there were patterns that were coming up all the time in coaching. Very similar themes, different circumstances, different people, but similar themes I need to be doing based on the experience I've got, using all of my leadership skills and the work that I've done and the things that I know that people really struggle with. And particularly, I drew on the leadership role here in Australia because a large part of my role, I've been coaching, but in an informal way, in a leadership way, not in a like a professional coach way. So that's when I pivoted and started to market myself more as a leadership coach for nurses. So I've always been very clear of who was in, my niche, and I did a lot of work. I did a business cert four in my coach training, which I was like, let me out of this. I can't tell you, Liam. But
So always that.
fair play though, I stuck with it. I did learn, I have to say, I have to be hand on heart. I learned a lot. And the whole niche thing, I had to do the research as part of setting up a business. Who am I marketing? Who was my avatar? I'd not even thought about that. So all of that groundwork helped me, I think, enormously. As much as I literally was dragged through that kicking and screaming because I was like, this is really boring. I don't want to do this. I just want to be out there doing my thing. But I learnt from that, and it helped me actually to
Good.
be really clear on two things, my why and my niche.
I love that. So much goodness in everything that you just mentioned there. I just want to remind everybody listening of what you said around you went cold turkey, which is not what,
Yeah.
everybody needs to do. But that is one way of doing it. I did a very similar thing. I did
Yeah.
have a bit of a transition. Obviously, financially, you would make sure you're set up and you've got all the things so that you can make that
Yeah.
leap,
Yeah.
right? And do that. And that is a beautiful gift to give to your future coach business self to be able to build that foundation. But
Yeah.
what I want to pay attention to is the fact that you did it without really knowing how to, right? Like
Yes.
you had the SIR and you had a couple of the pieces, but you allowed yourself to take what I talk about as messy action. You
Yeah.
just took strategic, slightly chaotic, slightly messy
Yes.
action. And you put yourself out there without knowing the exact how. And that is,
Yeah.
I think, what makes, that is a key skill and trait in people that I think are successful in businesses because
Yeah.
they are willing to stop before they know. And
Yeah.
as nurses, we do that naturally, organically. Like a lot of the time, we have to do things that we don't necessarily 100% know how to
Yeah.
do completely. And we have to take that action because of time pressure, emergency, insert here.
Yeah.
So I love that you spoke about that aspect of it. And then the niche part was kind of something that you already had within you. And
Yeah.
looking from afar, just hearing your story so far, it's like, of course, it makes sense. You
Yeah.
are, and I always teach this, like your niche is effectively a past version of yourself
Yeah.
that you are
Yeah.
coaching and supporting and guiding and mentoring. And
Yeah.
like you've cracked the code, so to speak. So now you teach other people how to crack the
Yeah.
code through their lens and in their way, meeting them where they're at. And you've demonstrated that beautifully. People overcomplicate their niche.
Yeah,
Like,
that very much so.
if
Yeah.
you think, oh my God, like, I've got to go out there and coach like Broadway actors and how to become better actors. Like, when you've never been an actor in your life, like, of course, it's not going to bloody work, right? You're going to put yourself through the
Yeah.
ringer and you're reinventing and
Yeah.
starting from zero. Whereas you leveraged
Yeah.
the skills that nursing paid you to learn to build a
Yeah.
business that leverages your personal and professional experiences.
Yeah.
And you brought that to the table, which is amazing. And anybody that tells you that the first 6 to 12 months of your business is going to be like a beautiful, linear, cohesive alignment, woo-woo, good feeling,
Yeah.
it is discomfort.com, and it
It
is resistance, and
is.
it is immense imposter syndrome and like deep gap analysis of I'm here. And in order to
Yeah.
become the business that I need to be, I now identify all of these skills that are my gaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that like for
That's.
you? Because so many people think about that and they think, I'm just going to do a business. I'm just going to set up a scrub company. I'm going to be a cosmetic nurse. I'm going to be a coach. And then I'll get a website and people are going to come running. What were the thoughts and
Yeah.
emotions that you struggled with the most in that first phase?
I think it wasn't so much the setting up, and I had, as weird as this sounds, I knew in my head what I wanted to set up. So I wanted to set up a business that was online, that was global, so I could coach any nurse anywhere in the world. And that was partly, I think, because of my experience. So I was very clear about how I wanted it to be. And I always remember going to the website guy, the first guy who did my website, and I think I must have driven him insane because I had all these things in my head that I actually wanted, and I was trying to get him to do that. So, I totally admit, very naive about a lot of things, but I think I very quickly realized that I had skill gaps around just the practical aspects. So, and it sounds trivial almost when I say it now, but it was things like having a booking system, having, how do I record the sessions? How am I giving feedback? I hadn't got that process sorted in my head. So it was really messy at the beginning. And it slowed me down enormously because it took me so long to do things. I didn't have a training budget, really. So a lot of the stuff I had to teach myself, which again, slowed me down. And I can remember almost throwing things through the window, trying to do just simple social media posts, or I set my podcast up in 2020. If anybody could see how I did that compared to how I do it now, massive growth, But I can laugh about it now. But honestly, Liam, it used to frustrate the pants off me because it wasn't the doing, it wasn't the speaking and the talking to people. It was the how do we get this recording out there?
It's all
It
about.
sounds so trivial.
But bear in mind, right?
But
This makes us sound old to like future versions of ourselves and everybody listening in the future. But that was before AI. That was before we could just go into ChatGPT and pull, and use AI to get information at our fingertips.
absolutely.
We had to
No,
go like just Yahoo and Google and try and find the answer.
And I think there was when I look back, it's funny, I was thinking about this morning because I do podcast interviews now and it's a world of difference to how I used to do them. The skills that I use now, AI is part of what I do day in, day out. And people sometimes think about AI as cheating. It's not actually. I consider AI as my admin assistant.
Your best employee.
And yeah, and I don't know how I would function, how I did function without that. And let me give you an example. This is a good tip for anybody who's stepping into coaching. So I've invested a lot in training. So whether that's business training, entrepreneurship, AI training, you name it, if it's relevant, so I now have the caveat, I ask myself the question, is this going to help me in my business? And the answer has to be yes. If it's no, I don't go there. I used to go to everything and anything. I was a scattergun approach. I spent a fortune and really, truly did. And what I learned the hard way with that was a lot of it was repetitive in other training. I'd already covered it somewhere else. So now, the last couple of years, I made myself that commitment, right? Is this relevant? Are you going to learn something that you can apply back in your business? If it's yes, great, I do it. So one of the things that I sat in on recently was around AI for coaches. And the biggest takeaway, it was like a light bulb moment for me. This guy said, he gave an example of how he'd interrogated AI and he put in, and obviously you've got to have a client's permission to do this. So I'll put that caveat on there. But he put in testimonials, client testimonials, and he'd asked AI to extract from the client testimonials what my or his IP, intellectual property, was from those testimonials. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Why did I not think of that? Of course, what do I do? Off I go. And I tell you what, you should try it. It was unbelievable to me because sometimes we have difficulty articulating what is your intellectual property. Do we even understand what that is as a coach? Because that's the valuable bit of your business. It's your frameworks, it's your process, it's for me, my foundations of leadership. It's understanding your point of difference. So three leadership coaches, what makes you different? It's your intellectual property. So it was there was that takeaway. And then the other takeaway was, and again, this is where you have to have permission to do this. So if you record your coaching sessions, you can, with permission, put the transcript of the coaching session into AI. You have to have full disclosure with your client about how you use AI when you do this and seek consent. And what you can ask it to do is act as your business coach or your whatever your niche is, your leadership coach or you, and tell me, analyze the transcript and tell me what I might have missed when I was coaching this client and give me feedback on my coaching style. Light bulb moment. It was like, oh my gosh.
It's so powerful. It's
It
so.
honestly blew my mind. And it's that kind of thing that really helps or helped me actually to see just how far I'd come on that journey. Because if I had been asked that question at the beginning of my journey, I would have like, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. I can't answer that. So I think my journey where I started, and it was a leap. I think when I look now to where I am, whilst I've invested and spent a lot of money, it's helped me enormously get where I am today. You can't do stepping into coaching without investing in yourself.
No.
And when I say that, it's not just in terms of your development, it's also in terms of who's in your corner coaching you or mentoring you as a business
Yeah.
person, because we don't see our blind spots either. That's the other thing. It's a lot of what I've done, strangely, and I think nurses will get this probably more so than other people, but it's like there's a lot of intuition. So when I first started out, I'd be thinking, okay, ways to connect with nurses. And in the very early days, there were themes, but not so much the leadership themes. And I think that was just because in the early stages, I was coaching lots of different people. But what did start to come out there was experiences of burnout, bullying, stress, but not explicitly. So people would talk about the careers, but be very reluctant to actually go into those. And I think now we know there's shame, and there's people don't want or didn't then, perhaps a bit better now, didn't want to talk about it. And I can remember thinking, how am I going to get this to be more out in the open? And that for me, I literally sat at home with a cup of tea thinking about it, and it just came in my head. You need to do a podcast. You need to talk to people about the careers. And that's how my podcast started. It was literally that thought in my head, because, as you know, I don't structure very much. I just ask people a few questions about the career. But in how many years have I been doing this now? 5 years of doing this, every single story has some reference to bullying, stress, burnout, hesitation about if it's the right career for them. Don't think management's my thing, think I need to go back to being a clinical nurse. And I don't specifically ask, tell me about bullying, or tell me. There's been a certain listening to my intuition and trusting that, even though I was flying by the seat of my pants, it was like, you know what the issues are. You pull on all of that knowledge, wisdom, experience from a nursing career. And we use intuition in nursing. We don't talk about that enough, but we definitely use it and apply it to your business. And I think never ever lose sight of that, because it's such an important part of who you are. And it's also, my values are very much around authenticity and honesty. And that was another important factor in never wanting to be somebody that I'm not truly. And I think to be that person, even in this age of social media, if we look at social media, there's a lot of people who present a very shiny, polished, perfect life. And we know that that's not reality. We see that in nursing all the time. Why do we worry? Why do we get hung up on how we look, how we speak, record something 30 million times until we're happy with it? I've done that.
Guilty
But
as charged.
yeah. But being authentic and being able to connect with somebody, even if that doesn't result in somebody paying you for six coaching sessions, if you've helped somebody somewhere in a day because they've read something that you put on social media and they've liked to post, that to me, that's why I do what I do, because it can help people in some small way. So that's the altruistic part of it, if you like. It doesn't always earn you the money, but it's not always about the money either. Yes, you need to pay the bills, but I think when you're very clear about your why and you're true to yourself and you present who you really are, people connect with that because they realize that you are not trying to be somebody that you're not.
Yeah, there's so many amazing things that you mentioned there. And I just wanted to reflect back to you around like the AI and the intellectual property. It's a really interesting use case for it. And like there are so many ways we can use
Yeah.
that. I love AI. And I've actually, everybody listening might think this is hilarious. I actually have a Liam GPT. So I've created my own GPT that knows pretty much everything about me, including my astrology, all the spiritual woo-woo, like, my porn status, like all of the things. And it is like my life coach. It is incredible. I mean, I still pay for therapy, but it's my life coach. And it's just the output and the way that it reflects back to me what I need to hear. Like I'm not gonna lie, I have cried over ChatGPT. Like I've cried in a conversation where I've just had a moment and I've gone, oh my God, like I needed to hear that. And that was so powerful and poignant. So I mean, AI is here to stay, and it's only going to get smarter and better and more comprehensive. So we, as nursepreneurs, we have to tap into it and leverage it. And there's so many different ways that we can do that. So I want to touch on that. But also, in talking about intellectual property, your ability to communicate information and educate people now is not actually like a proven business model. For example, like if you are someone that has skills and knowledge, guess what? AI has skills and knowledge. And so therefore, if you think I can just get online and teach a concept, teach an idea, teach a framework, so can AI. And that's where people are going. So what people buy from now or what people engage with as a business is the storytelling, the connection, because everybody in this day and age of fake news and is the media true or is the media false? People want to connect with personal-based brands and they want to deal with a human. That can be a human that uses AI, but they want the packaging of a human with a framework. And then they want to understand AI, but they're buying the connection to the story and to how you make them feel, right? And so that's so important for everybody listening that a lot of people that I know just try and use AI to kind of build their whole business. And it's like, yes, but you also need to use your brain and leverage your personal skills, knowledge, and experience and what makes you you, your character, your nuances, the things you love. You know, I've got people that are nurses, nurse coaches who love Taylor Swift. And it's like that becomes part of your brand because AI can't do that. Like, if you absolutely adore Taylor Swift, you got to talk about it in your content, in your reels, in your emails, in your offer. You got to coach on it. And that becomes part of the brand. So I just wanted to offer that in that space there. And then, as you were talking about intuition and like inner wisdom, I think a big part of building a successful entrepreneur-led brand is one, phase one, self-coaching, self-leadership, and nervous system regulation and learning how, whether you know you're doing that or not, that's what you're doing. And you have that foundation. And then from there, you basically allow yourself to, from a regulated state, access your higher self. That's what I think is happening. That inner intuition, that guide is just present. And they're accessible for the first time, maybe in a long time, maybe even in a lifetime. And I know that I look for a lot of signs. I'm quite spiritual in that sense. Like everybody listening is going to be like, Liam, that is, you know, a medical problem. But like
it's not.
I get intermittent ear ringing and like I see numbers and signs all the time. So I'm very much into numerology and I always see 222, 333, like every day. Butterflies, like things like that. Like I'm going a little spiritual, but butterflies are my thing. I see a butterfly and I'm like, oh, that's a sign for me to reconnect back into myself. Because our body, the body keeps a score, our intuition keeps a score, and we have access to that, but only and only when we quieten the noise and we do a little internal tidy up and clean up. And I think that's what's so beautiful about coaching. It wasn't until I learned how to coach myself and how to coach other people that I feel like I began to raise my awareness and my emotional vibration and frequency to be able to accept and receive, which is just such a beautiful gift. And I think that that is the goal of life. I'm getting super deep here, but I feel like it's a goal of life. It's like to come back to yourself, to come back to the original frequency that you entered this earth on. Like we entered as just absolute, pure, gorgeous, amazing, beautiful babies that had no conditioning. And I genuinely do believe that that is our life's work. Forget your career, forget the accolades, forget the figures. It's can you and will you do the work to come back to yourself?
And that's such an important point, Liam, because I talk about intuition, and I never used to bring that up with clients, but I've always had it. I've always had that inner wisdom, whatever we want to call it. And I think most nurses get it when you talk about it, but we in the profession we don't, because we've got to be science-based and evidence-based and all of that. But I've done quite a lot of personal work on myself, and that came about through personal circumstances. And what I realized in doing that was I kind of lost that a little bit. And when I started to do the work and started to practice, the whole mindfulness, meditation, coming back to me, that's when the intuition started to become louder. I mean, I'll give you an example, and it sounds a bit woo-woo when you talk about it, but I'm happy to share that because I think it's important. There's a particular client that I can bring to mind who was very senior. Normally I coach over Zoom, so I can coach anybody, but this particular time, this person wanted to meet, wanted to. So going meeting and having coffee and be coached was the mode, if you like. And that's fine because it's client driven. And I would get this, what I can only describe is almost like a dis this instruction in my head. And this was on the very first visit. So we'd had a Zoom call and then we'd arranged to meet the first session. And there's this very clear instruction in my head. You need to take, and there's a book that I have that was very relevant. I won't say the title because it might give the client away, but it was a very relevant book to this person's situation. Now, I didn't really know much about the situation at that point. And I turn up and the person is there with a whole series of papers and notes and CVs and all sorts of things. And when I think about it now, the boldness of myself is the first session. And we did obviously the introduction, we got the coffee, and then she said, I've got all these things. And I said, oh, we're not going to need those today. I kind of got this, what? I said, we're not going to need them today. We'll maybe look at these later. I said, and I do have something for you. And I would really like you to read this. And maybe we can talk about this a bit more at the next session. And it was a massive risk, because I didn't know this person at that point. This is right at the beginning of the coaching journey. It was just the first time I think that I'd really let the intuition in and I'd listened. And what I did opened up this coaching relationship that I don't think would have been quite the same had I not listened to that. So it does sound a bit woo-woo when I talk about it, but actually, I've learned to listen to that and I've learned to let that guide me in working with clients, but also sometimes with determining that somebody might not be the right person for coaching. That's the bit we haven't really touched on that, but in the beginning, boy, did I make some mistakes in the rush to try and
Good
get
point.
people through the door. And I hold my hands up, you know. I took people on and really shouldn't, because they weren't ready for coaching, suitable for coaching, or I wasn't the right person to coach them. And I think that's where you've got a rookie errors that you have to be aware of and learn from. And coaching has to come from a place, coming back to being authentic. You want to be able to know that you can help this person achieve whatever it is their goals are through coaching, but also acknowledge that for some people, you may not have that rapport. You may not be the right person, and to be honest about that rather than signing someone up and then struggling because it doesn't quite gel and it doesn't quite work. I think we've all done it if we're honest. That's how we learn.
100%. Oh, goodness. And it's part of the, it's almost like the admission into the
Yeah,
process that everybody
yeah,
goes through
yeah,
that for sure.
yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Like everybody listen more to your intuition
Yeah.
is an essential part of building your business and also building yourself. I actually, just to reflect back to the AI comment, I saw this clip the other day on TikTok and it really stuck with me around how AI is basically like a channel to your higher self. If you
Yeah.
use it correctly and you leverage it to coach you and support you, that basically the output that you get back is your higher self or your future self
Yeah.
talking back to you. And I thought that was a beautiful way to reframe it and to think about using it rather
Yeah.
than my picture, which is like this massive like warehouse of just computers and robots. Who knows what the hell it looks like? But that's what I think. I think I'm talking into the abyss, right? And somebody's
Yeah.
the other end having a laugh at what I'm putting in there. And then I'm like, no, it's my future self. It's Liam.
Yeah.
It's like, Liam in
And
the future kind of
I've
worked out.
done that. You know, I've worked with ChatGPT right from the beginning, and it knows me now. It refers to me by my first name. It tells me things about myself that I don't fully appreciate. It tells me that's a really smart question. I'm like, oh. And
Oh, I love it.
I can't imagine a world without it, but it doesn't replace me. I think it's really important for people to understand that. You know, I am very aware, because in my circle I know people who are using ChatGPT for coaching, for all sorts of situations. And in the coaching world, there's been a lot of fear around we're not going to need coaches. And there's a company in Australia that's looking at desktop coaching in the corporate world. And that's kind of set off hairs running. People say, oh, that's the end of coaching. Well, it's not actually, because if you think about a client comes to you for coaching, it doesn't matter what your specialty is. The fundamental basis of coaching is we don't tell people what they should do. We help them with their goals, and they have to articulate that goal or goal for them. So every person is an individual. Every person's circumstances are different. Their personalities are different, their education, their culture, where they've lived, the jobs they've had, the, things they've grown up with. So AI can only give you a very standardized answer to something. And I think we forget this. The personal kind of insights that a coach has privy to when you're coaching a client, AI can't do that. It can't deconstruct, where does a belief about I'm not good enough come from? Why do we carry that? What happened? What's happened in our life? Is it something somebody did or said? Or we're deconstructing that to try and get to the root cause of how is this holding this person back, and what can we do to try and help with that? And whilst AI can give very generalized good advice, it can't put it in the context of this person in front of you. And that's where the coaching comes in. And I think we forget that sometimes when we
Just
talk.
drawing from, for those that aren't aware of how AI works, it's just drawing information from what's publicly available on the internet and then adapting it. And so it's very smart and it's incredible. But one of the main reasons why I invest in a coach is for the co-regulatory support. It's to be in the room with somebody, like even if it's on Zoom, it's to be on Zoom. That's why I hire a therapist, like because I want to talk to a human. Like my therapist probably says 10 things in the hour that I'm with her. She probably says like 10 words. If you're lucky, for an hour, it cost me $250. And then I, at the end of it, I'm like, oh my God, I need a nap because I just spoke for an hour on, with no breath. But the point is, like, yes, I could do that with ChatGPT. And sometimes I do have a little like mental health debrief with ChatGPT, but I notice that I don't feel the same relief and I don't get the same closure. And then I just like get on with cooking the dinner, right? But if I've had therapy session, I'm like, no, I'm gonna sit on the sofa and just like let this sink in, or go for a walk, or I'll integrate, or I'll, And so I think that there's still very much a place for all of that. And in fact, a lot of the podcasts I listen to about AI, because I'm a little bit obsessed with it, they talk about how coaches, therapists will be so in demand in the future because we are even more disconnected. And we need even more regulation. And the basis of existence and regulation is co-regulation. And well-being as a human is having other people around you.
And I think that's a really good point, Liam. When we think about coaching and becoming coaching, and I know that that's a lot of what you're doing is helping nurses to set up and develop their own businesses. I think you always have to have awareness. It's a big responsibility being a coach. And I think we're human people. Things happen in our lives the same way that they happen to everybody else. And I think you have to be aware of that, because you as a coach have to be in the right mindset, in the right space to be able to listen to somebody, to be able to help them. And when you've got a lot things going on in your life and they're running through your head, you can't always disconnect from that. And I personally think in the coaching community, we don't talk about that. It's something that I learned in my training about what are the processes where you declutter your mind and you ground yourself and center yourself before you even get to join a Zoom call or sit in front of somebody, because you can't be your best self. You can't guide somebody if you are in this turmoil. And I think that's self-awareness. And even to the point of if you're having a terrible day, you might have to say to somebody, actually, I really need to reschedule this. And it's okay to do that, because we have to walk the walk, talk the talk as coaches. And I think we all need that support externally for ourselves as business owners, as coaches doing what we're doing. And if we don't do that, we're not being authentic or true or in a great position to help other people. And I think as nurses, that's so important because we've all probably got similar stories about how we became coaches. Some of that might be leaving for stress reasons, burnout. My situation was, as I've explained, but there was an element of burnout there as well. And I think we have to be aware of that and we have to work on that and process that to be able to then step in to help others.
Yeah, I think that's where most programs, I'd be curious if this has been your experience, but most business programs that I've done have
Yeah.
never touched on that. The
No.
first module is like, okay, business care planning.
Yeah.
And there's no mention of mindset, nervous system,
No.
healing. And so when I created the Nursepreneur Academy, I was actually reflecting back on some notes. I always go back through my iPad and look at my notes from time to
Yeah.
time, and I need to recenter myself and go, what the hell are you doing, Liam? And I was doing that last week. I was having a moment. I was after I'd been sick. And I was looking back through and I was like, oh, I planted the seed for the Nursepreneur Academy. I documented it in 2022.
Yeah.
Like it was a long time ago before I started taking action in 2025. It was stewing, I was thinking about it, I
Yeah.
was swallowing my gut, it
Yeah.
wasn't the right time, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I when I was building it at and having experience and spent over $100,000 of my own money on business coaching containers and coaching certifications, I was like, the absolute first thing that I need to teach nurses coming into business, given the context, is mindset and
Yeah.
how to manage your own brain. And
Yeah.
the and understand it in a way that's easily applicable in your nursing career and your business, and also how to come back home to yourself,
Yes,
how to regulate and how to heal. And because
yeah.
how often do we attend in services or hear anybody talk about the fact that as nurses, we have all experienced cumulative micro and macro trauma every
Yeah.
single day?
Yeah.
And so when I did that nervous system training course, and I did that for 6 months, and I learned about trauma-informed nervous system coaching, it just like it almost like woke me up. I
Yeah.
just felt like I had that moment that you had with the AI where I just went, oh, this is
Yeah.
the answer. Like
Yeah.
nurses that I was coaching, they were struggling with coaching because it was very cognitive, but it wasn't embodied.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when I started talking about nervous system and coaching and starting to make their body and their mind a safe place for them to live, which
Yeah.
sounds ridiculous to say out loud, but how many of us are not at home in our body or our mind? It's not
Exactly.
a nice, happy place to be. And so that was just like a mic drop moment for me. And so now that is the first six lessons that I teach people, and they get challenges, and it's like, this is what you should be doing. This is business building. This is very important work. And of course, everybody just wants, I want to know what my niche is, Liam. And I'm like, no, we're not talking about niche until you've proven to me that you understand that you can rewire, retrain your thinking, that you can feel hard emotions, and that you can prove to yourself that you know how to get out of a state of fight or flight. So
And I
important.
think that's it. I totally agree with you because I think, this isn't a nursing related conversation, but I'll just share something with you. I went to, I think it was an International Women's Day event, so there were lots of different business owners there, and I was on a table sat with a couple of people who were coaches. How you chat to people and they ask you what you do, and I was kind of asked first and spoke a bit about what I do, and then I asked the person sitting next to me, and this person said, I'm a trauma-informed coach. And I went, oh, that's really interesting. I said, what kind of people do you work with? And this person said, well, I've got lived experience. And I was like, first red flag. And then I was like, where did you train? And I didn't really get an answer to that question. And this conversation then moved to the person next to the person who was talking to me. They were friends, it turned out. Similar answer, lived experience. And I can remember thinking, it was just that moment where you think lived experience doesn't qualify you unless you've processed your lived experience. And I think
Yes.
it's an important caveat that if you've gone through something in your life, no matter what it is and where you work, you can't help others if you haven't processed that yourself.
Yeah, I feel like we just need some space there for people to like for that to sink in. That is
Yeah.
so, yeah.
Yeah.
And that is the
And
work,
I,
it's the undoing, that's the work, that's the
yeah.
deconditioning that we
Yeah.
all have to do as we transition into
Yeah.
business.
And
No
I
one
think,
through it without doing that.
yeah. And especially in nursing, because we carry a lot, we know that we, depending on where your niche is and what you want to achieve, having the lived experience helps you to be able to understand that. But if you haven't processed that and healed from that and gone through what you need to go through, it won't ever be at the depth that it needs to be to help someone else.
Yeah,
And
and it will just,
that's,
you can still do it. It will just take you a long period of time. I think that's how I started my business, to be honest. It's like, I think my business has been a huge conduit for me to heal. And it's been a space for that. And I think everybody's, it goes through that same process, but I hear you. And I think that when people say, I want to go and do a coaching certification, or I want to get, I think that is their inner wisdom saying, let's create some space to heal. Then you've got me saying, don't do it. I'm usually saying, don't do it. You don't need it until you start. But my lens is like, you do need it, and it is a great asset to have, but don't let it be the thing that stops you from
No,
planting the seed and doing what
no,
we both did, which is
no.
you can just start. You don't have to wait and delay your dream,
No,
especially if you're
you
self.
don't.
You can start to build a business. You can do the behind the scenes work. The behind the scenes work takes 6 months to get the grant,
Easily.
if even post on social media. And so there's so much in there, and we went on a little tangent, but that was a very valuable tangent, I think. Right. That the people listening will tell us. I wanted to kind of finalize and wrap up and talk about social media and your experience, because I know this year you've been going hard on the socials.
Oh,
Yeah,
yes.
like you've been doing all the things, but you've been showing up, you're putting your reels on. Every time I log on, I'm like, Eva's got another post. Yes, I love it. So what's that been like? Because social media is a beast.
Oh,
And
where do I start?
there is no try, like, everybody claims to have cracked the code, but everyone is lying.
I've probably come very late. Well, it's not probably. I have come very late to the whole social media party, if you like. It's something I am not comfortable with, and I haven't been comfortable from the beginning. But I realized that in avoiding it, it wasn't actually doing me any favors because, as somebody very gently reminded me, no one's going to know about you if you don't put yourself out there. The putting myself out there was the biggest challenge, and that has been my nemesis for quite a long time. I can talk and I'm quite happy to do this, but put me in front of a camera, it's a whole different ball game. Anyway, I went through the whole imposter syndrome, right? And it's probably a year ago now, actually. So there was something happened where I did some filming for a course that I have around foundations of leadership. And it was, I think that moment made me realize, okay, you need to step into this. If you can do that, you can do social media. So I started to record myself, do short videos, and it took me forever. The whole 30 takes, don't like it, don't like the way I sound, 100 million reasons. And it was taking me forever. And this is no word of a lie. This was a year ago. And then I started to realize that the more I did it, the easier it became. So, what started off as probably a bit stiff and starchy and reading stuff and trying to memorize stuff actually evolved to me being able to talk quite freely about things. And then since February, I think I've had some help, minimal help, but help with putting reels together because, again, the techie side of it was taking me forever. And working with this particular Tina in the UK, I've learned so much from them. They literally, I record myself, I send the contacts, and they make it look and sound great. I'm like, that's amazing. Thank you. And I'm not taking away from that because, seriously, Liam, that was the biggest step forward for me. And we've got a great working relationship. They've kind of learned about me. They know who I am and how I tick. And it's not forced. It's like I'm free to choose the content. I don't want to be same, same. I'm trying to put myself into that content as much as I can because it comes back to the authentic bit. And I'm trying to share my wisdom, if you like, things I've learned stuff the hard way. I talk too much, so I've had to learn how to do shorter reels, which is a challenge because I could
Yes.
talk for hours, as
60
you know.
seconds. Not a lot of time. It's not a lot of time to
I'm
do.
like, you want me to do 15 seconds?
Oh,
But what I have noticed, we're all joking aside. So I am on Instagram, TikTok, which I have to hold my hands up. I don't know what I'm doing on TikTok, but it seems to be working. So how that's okay. YouTube, it's been a really interesting journey. I've had a few of my YouTube posts that have got close to 2,000 views, and I'm like, well, why? Why is that one done so well when some of the others have had like 15 views? I don't understand all that. And the same with the certain posts that seem to land, and usually the ones that I think, well, I'm not sure about this, they're the ones that do better. So it's been a huge learning curve, and it has paid off. My following is growing. It's grown organically. It's taken a long time. And I think what I've realized is over the last year is it's grown more because I'm talking and being me and putting myself, my face out there, whereas before I didn't. So it's been a challenge. I'm not comfortable with it. I've had to learn how to do it. But if we're in the world of, the world we live in with AI and technology and different generations, we have to be able to speak to different generations. And it's interesting because in my peer group, somebody or a few people have said to me, oh, I don't like all that music in the background on your reels. And I'm like, well, and then someone else has said, oh, your reels are really great. And it's an age thing. And I'm not being ageist, but different things work for different people. So you can't please everyone. But it's been a conscious effort to step into that and really kind of look, you can't, if you people don't know about you and the work you're doing, they're not going to find you. So I've really kind of stepped more into that in the last year.
And it's funny,
I've
isn't it?
not
Because
got a huge budget. Sorry if you go.
Listen, you don't have to spend a lot on getting an editor or somebody to be able
No.
to cut back for you. And you know, one thing about business is, there's always costs involved, but it's like also that content is the driver of your business. It is the thing that brings people to your front door, and they say, "Eva, I want to work with you. How can I work with you?" And so it's a small price to pay. And of course, you can do it yourself as well, but it just means you spend more time learning how to edit. And I always teach our nurses that it's good to have all the skills. It's good to try
Yeah, it
and to
is.
do it, to edit one or two. And if you hate it
Yeah.
and you can't do it and you're not loving it, outsource
Yeah.
it. And if you want to develop the skill, it just means that you're better at giving direction when you have an editor,
Yeah.
you know, because you
Yeah.
understand like what they're talking about when you
Yeah.
cut it and so
Yeah.
forth. So that's so, and it's so fun to see you putting your content out there. And you're right, it is just, it's iterative. Like you have to just keep
Yeah.
putting content out. You
Yeah.
have to keep trying different styles. You have to, you know, 1 minute it's the wham bam thank you ma'am videos, and you know there's swooshies and there's this and there's that and there's like video clips behind the video, and then the next week the algorithm's like, no, we don't like that anymore, we want just a raw organic FaceTime video. And you're like, what do you mean? Like I can't keep up.
I don't listen to that at all,
No,
Liam.
you just do
I
it,
ignore it. I do
which
not.
is good advice.
Yeah,
It's
I
good
don't
advice.
listen to because seriously, you could spend the whole week buried in trying to get your head around. I'll just share with you this. I record myself, and I've got this very cheap tripod that I bought. I can't remember, I think I bought it in IGA or somewhere. It was on offer. And this thing is held together with rubber bands and bits of string. And every time I film myself, I laugh because I think if anybody could see what goes on to get these, I just use my phone. I don't have any techie equipment. And I've got this rickety tripod. And it makes me laugh every time I look at it. I think if anybody could see this, and it was funny, I took a photograph of it, sort of memo to self, when I've got a big following, I'm gonna look back at this photo because that's my reality. But I've literally had to, you just gotta do it. You have just got to do this, despite not wanting to. It's true. I can remember you said, oh, the more you do it, the more, and I'm like, ah, I'm not sure about that. But it's true, it does. The more you do it, the easier it becomes because it just starts to roll and you're just you. And it
It's
doesn't matter
funny.
if you make mistakes.
I've posted nearly 2,000 times on Instagram, nearly 2,000 times. And I just this year really reconnected again with doing face to camera and doing more of it. Because I went back through my feed. I started with a new business coach, and she was like, oh, you do a lot of like static posts and carousels, and but you're not really showing up as you. You're not sharing you in what Yes. And so I started doing more of it, and I had the same thing. I sat down, I did 90 reels because this was the challenge. I did 90 reels in like 3 days, and there are like 20 takes of each reel. My phone is like jam-packed with them. My poor editor that gets the like, but I laugh now and I look back at them and I think, oh my God. And the editing of it is so jumpy. It's like I say one step and then it jumps and I've moved. And I'm like, I don't actually care because I'm so proud of that version of Liam that was like, you know what, this is uncomfortable. I'm not that great at it, but I'm going to get these 90 reps in so that I can be better. And then recently I went down to the park. It was a beautiful day here and it was sunny. And I was like, I'm going to create content outside today. No one told me to do it. I was like, I'm going to challenge this. I just felt like doing it. And I went down there with no script, with absolutely no plan of what I was going to talk about.
No.
I turned the camera on and I was just like, this is what is keeping nursepreneurs stuck. And I just spoke organically. And they've been the easiest videos to edit. They've done better online. You know, there's so many lessons come from just being willing to try.
That's so
Because if
true.
you think you've got to work down as a nursepreneur, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You're in trouble if you think you've got it all cracked. Like you're going to be cracked the code. You think you've cracked the code, you're in trouble. You're going to learn a lesson. So, Eva, tell me, what do you picture for you, your business, 5 to 10 years from now? What is the long-term vision and plan for Eva Story Coaching?
Oh, that's a really good question. There's lots of things that I have kind of in my head, in terms of where I would like to be. So for me, there is still, I think I might have talked to you about this before, there's still a bit of an itch there about having a space for nurses, maybe not in Australia, maybe somewhere else, that you can come and have a break, a holiday, but have access to a lot of things that can help you. So not just me, it would be a collaborative.
Nice.
That's really where I would want to get to. Quite how I'm going to get there is not worked out, but there's something bigger to come out of this, I think, in terms of just helping nurses to pause and see there's different ways to do things, that you don't have to stay nose to the grindstone. You have a choice. People always quote me for that because I say that to all my clients. You have a choice. You know, something's not working, you don't have to stay there. There's so many opportunities and possibilities, and it's our thinking that holds us back and restricts us. And I think, will I be doing the same thing I'm doing now? Probably not. Will I pivot? Probably yes. What does that look like? Honestly, not sure. But it doesn't really matter because whatever I end up doing will follow those principles of being true to myself and the whole why. Why am I doing it? Because I want to make a difference. You know, and I think I've still got inherently that passion about wanting to help other nurses. That's never, ever gone. It's a huge frustration of mine that organizations, schools of nursing, unis are not teaching the things that potential nurse leaders of the future need to know. And that really for me is, I want to change that, you know? Because, and okay, some of that's personal because we think, where will we be if we continue to lose nurses who go out the door and don't ever want to go back? What are we going to end up with? And sometimes, you know, my brain goes to, well, maybe that's the plan. Well, maybe some of it is, but we still need the leaders. We still need people who want to be in nursing, but do it their way, not the way that, well, that's how you have to do it. No, you don't. So being a voice for that, I think, is hugely important to me. However, I do that, I do it through coaching currently, but who knows?
So many options. You have a choice and you have options.
Absolutely,
What I
absolutely.
love about nursepreneurship that you just beautifully articulated there is that it doesn't matter where you go, what you do. It doesn't matter
No.
how much you pivot and evolve because you develop a nursepreneur skill set. Once you've
Yes.
learned how to write emails, once you've learned how to script videos, once you've learned
Yeah.
how to edit a podcast, once you've learned how to make your first sale and write a
Yeah.
landing page,
Yeah.
you know how to do all the things, you know. And I've noticed that even in myself. My first business, hard. career coach. Like, it was hard to do
Yeah.
everything. Everything was
Yeah.
so hard because my capability was high, but my capacity and actual skill set was low.
Yeah.
And now, Nursepreneur Academy, I was able to get that up and running in like 6 months. I was thinking about it for years. I didn't build
Yeah.
anything till like
No.
2024.
Yeah.
And I was able to get it to the point where my previous business had been in like less than a year.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
and we did the same with Aussie Nurse Recruiters. We, Michelle and I, built that from the ground up in 12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
We took longer because we had more things to navigate. But when we launched it, it was more successful in a
Yeah.
quicker period of time because
Yeah.
of skill development
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
entrepreneurs. And so when people say, "Oh, isn't it risky?" I'm like, "No. In fact, like, you know, it is. It's only risky if you plan to quit. If you
Yeah.
plan to fail and quit."
And I
But
think
it
just
is
to
to do it.
touch that, you know, if that's the message in your head, oh, it's too risky, or we're going to fail, you know, what we know is our thinking holds us back. So if you think that, you're holding yourself back from potentially what could be something really great, you know. So I think that's also been a big part of my learning, letting go of the what ifs, the risks. You can't do that as a business, as a entrepreneur,
You're
you
a
know.
professional taker.
Yeah, I think I read something somewhere that said, I can't remember where I read it now, but it was talking about the more times you fail, the more successful you become as a
Yeah.
entrepreneur, because you
Well,
learn and you
yeah,
keep
you
learning
have to
and you
fail
keep
what will
going.
guarantee your
Yeah,
success.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah,
We love that. We love that.
yeah.
Or maybe we've just drank the Kool-Aid, Eva, and we're on that spectrum. Who knows? But anyway, I'm happy with that. I'll take it over a 12-hour day and human rights complaints anytime. Eva, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your nursepreneur story. I'm sure there's so much more that we could have dove into, but so much value. Thank you for showing our nurses what is possible when they choose themselves, because that is what building a business is about.
Yeah,
It's actually about
absolutely.
finally choosing you. Where can people download your freebies, come into your world, get things from you, join your
Okay.
offerings? Where can they find you?
So I'm on Instagram. There's links on my Instagram profile, which is Eva Story. Oh, I can't remember now. I should have put me on the spot. Eva
Will
Story
be in the show
Coaching.
notes.
And my website, evastory.com. So there's lots of links to the coaching packages that I offer. There's freebies, there's ebooks, there's subscriptions. It's all on my website.
Fabulous. Awesome. And the podcast.
And the podcast, yes, very important. Thank you, Liam. Real Nurse Stories, where I share nurses' career stories. And if you're interested and you want to share your career story, please get in touch with me. I always love interviewing nurses about their careers because there's so many interesting stories on there. So yeah, it gets a lot of people listening, so that's good.
Awesome. We love that. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We will see you in the next episode when we explore more about how you can make nursing optional. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
A pay rise bedside nursing could never provide. Freedom from hospital politics and the flexibility to work on your own terms without the shift work. You, my friend, are one step closer to creating your bedside escape plan. I want to hear your insights, takeaways, and questions. Connect with me over on Instagram at Nursepreneur Academy or email me at hello@liamcaswell.com. If you're the type of nurse that's ready to explore your options for building a nurse-side business, leave us a review, screenshot it, and send it to my email or my Instagram, and I'll send you my bedside to business roadmap, my step-by-step process to building a six-figure nurse-led business as a thank you. Until next week, keep dreaming big, taking bold action, and betting on yourself, because this is the year you make nursing optional.